desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. We'll put a title on it that way, and I am aware that a lot of times as we get together, families get together, and I believe the Lord is pleased with that. We've often mentioned that Thanksgiving is not something that we should just do one day out of the year, but it is a lifestyle. It is a condition of heart that God wants us to have. Written on the board, mine eyes have seen. And I guess the message that I have to share with you this morning, in a way it is personal, because I'm going to share some things that mine eyes have seen. And it relates with Thanksgiving. And your eyes have seen different things than my eyes have seen. You can relate this to your own life and things that you have seen and observed. But I'd like us to begin over in Psalms 100. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Some instruction given to us. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And the people said, Amen. This is some good instruction given to us. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. In other words, that's that willing heart and mind that we heard about this morning in Sunday school. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't do it by constraint. Don't do it out of obligation, but do it with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, know ye that the Lord, He is God. In your battles that you face this morning, remember that. The Lord is God. It's He that hath made us. It's not we ourselves. We didn't make this earth. We didn't come up with this life. God was the one that did it, which means He is in control. So remember that in the battles you face. You're not in this by yourself. You don't have to go through life struggling in your own devices and your own strength and your own ability. But remember, the Lord is God. He's the one that made us. And we're His people. You know, there's something about being His people. There's a security that comes from that. I was struck, and even this morning we pulled out one of the letters from one of the orphans, and what she had said something about that she was referring to me. She said, He's like a parent to me. And I was thinking, you know, there's not a lot of personal contact, but these children that don't have a father and mother, to know that there's someone that when they're going hungry, there's going to be a call made. And there's going to be someone that they know is going to do what they can for them to have a place to sleep and food to eat. And I thought, how much more to know that we're His people. When we're in trouble, there is a God that I can turn to, and I have security. When I was a little boy, and I still have fond memories, I still remember, I had a security blanket. And it was around for quite a while, and I got to the age that, you know, I didn't sleep with it. But even today, there's a warmth when I think about that. It was those bright blue and red and white, and oh, it was just, you know, it was my security blanket. Do you know this morning that I got something better than a blanket that makes me feel comfortable? I am God's people. Thank the Lord for that. I've got something to be thankful for this morning. Don't you? He said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. In other words, don't come complaining. You know, sometimes we say, does anybody have thanksgiving? What's next on my mind is, any complaints? Especially when it's quiet. We have lots to be thankful for. Come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? Because the Lord is good. And His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. With that as a foundation, I want to share some things with you. You children, young people, you listen this morning. I want to share with you a few things that mine eyes have seen. In Nigeria, I've seen a colony of lepers. People that had been cast out from their family. People that were not at home, as we call home. No mother and father, husband, wife, children to be there for them anymore. But they were ostracized from society. And they were there, and the only people that they could have fellowship with or find any family or companionship was with other lepers. Just waiting alongside the road for people that were speeding by at high rates of speed, waiting for someone to throw some money out to them so they could get something to eat. I've seen, been with families in their houses, in their homes, where when we leave here today, you can go home and you have a roof over your head. Seeing people that have a home to go to, but when it rains, they get wet. And I was staying in one of those this week, and the storm came, and I got out, and I was looking around trying to move my stuff so it wouldn't get wet because of all the leaks. I've seen many, many congregations where when the sun is out, it beats. They have no roof over their chapel. Many of them have no chapel at all. They meet under a tree for services. You know, that's really what the importance is anyway, is just a place to worship God. But places, they come together and it rains, they get wet, their roof is a thatched roof, and it rains, and they don't have any heat and air, so when it's cold out, like when it gets cold, they can't go turn the thermostat up. And I've seen many, they don't have a place to go to get warm. I have seen so many that don't have a home at all, as many of you have. I remember as a boy being in San Francisco, and seeing a homeless man with all his earthly possessions right there. He was dirty and stinky, but he had a friend. It was a bottle of alcohol. That was his friend. The only friend he had in the world, he found in his bottle. And he was laying there. He was an old man, unshaven, and laying there on the side of the road. And he had his bottle and took a drink. And I remember the police car pulling up. And I was off on the other side of the road observing this sitting in our vehicle. The police just strode up without a care in the world and grabbed his bottle of alcohol and dumped it out in front of him and threw it away and walked off. And I watched this old man with not a friend in the world, saw him take his old raggedy blanket and wipe his eyes because he'd lost the only thing that he had of value. It was his alcohol. Seen many men and women sleeping on street benches, on park benches, no place to call home. Seen not only adults, but children, so many sleeping outside with no blanket, no pillow. They sleep in the dust. They sleep in the dirt. Snot running down their nose, cold, sick. They don't have one blanket, nothing to keep them warm at night, getting very cold at night. And in those places, I was glad to have my sleeping bag. It was so cold to pull up over my nose. You know, when it gets so cold, you want to cover your nose up? And knowing that there were children right outside where I was sleeping, no blanket, nothing to be warm, just laying out in the dust. Our world is full of people like that. Mine eyes have seen children that want to go to school. They want an education, but they were afraid to go because if they went to school, they wouldn't have anything to eat for the day. And so they would stay around home hoping that maybe they would get something to eat. I've also seen many, many children that they desire to go on to high school, 9th grade, 10th grade, but they didn't have any way because in a lot of countries you have to pay to go to school. They didn't have any money. And they were wanting so badly to continue their education, but they couldn't get educated because there was no money. I've seen many a child with their bellies extended because of malnutrition. Not a balanced diet. Many, many children in our world, they can't eat fruit. They can't afford fruit. They have very little to eat and they're malnourished. Some of them you see have seen those that just their skin and bones, and others that they look extra large because of malnutrition. Our world is full of people like that. Mine eyes have seen elderly people, and I was not there when it happened, but I've been with them, that I get a call that the elderly amongst Church of God people in Malawi have died because they didn't have any food to eat. That's people where I have been there in their congregations. And the elderly died because of famine, without any food to eat. These are not just stories that I have read in a book. This is what I have seen. I have seen young children who have been so abused and mistreated and neglected, left with physical, emotional, sexual, spiritual needs in their life that go beyond. It's to the point you can't almost begin to comprehend the things that they're dealing with. Brother Tony, that's in this country as well. You work with those boys. The children, many of the children at the orphanage in Kenya, so many of them have been abused. So many of them are now today are HIV positive as a result. Some passed from their parents and some as a result of the abuse that they received in their life. Young man does well at school. He's a very intelligent young man. Probably about 13 years old, 14 years old. I found out this week that he can't hear very well. And he does very well in school, but it's because what he's reading. And if he sits real close, he can hear. But he can't hear because he was abused. His being knocked in the head, his ear being yanked, and his sister has the same problem. This is the world that we live in. Children with no father, no mother, left on their own to try to find a place to sleep, to try to find food to eat. I have been with people that love God, people that have, because of their faith in God, they have been kidnapped. With a man last year that had been kidnapped by Muslims because of his belief in Christ. Been with people who have been stoned because they believed in Jesus. I've been with family members of those, well, not just family members. I've been with people, work very closely with them, that have been put in jail. Not only in Pakistan, but in Tanzania and in Kenya. People that have been put in jail because of their work for God. These are not fairy tales. This is the world in which we live. These are things mine eyes have seen. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. How is your life this morning? You think you have problems? How's your life? You children, the young people, what's your life? I know we have problems. And I know we have burdens. But do you know our world is full of people that are hurting a whole lot worse than some of the things that seem so big to me. Some of the things that look so difficult in our lives, I want you to remember there are people that are going through a lot worse, difficult things and battles. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, I said. The Scripture says having food and raiment. Be what? Be content. Do you have food and raiment this morning? There are millions of people. There are hundreds that I know that don't have food and raiment. And every day they are blessed. These children, so a lot of these children in Kenya that have been ministering to, when that container came with all those donated goods, the first pair of shoes they'd ever owned in their life. Walking around and torn, tattered clothing. And I want to just, this is a little side note here. You look on people and say, oh, they're wearing what? They're wearing what they have. Who are we to judge? That's not modest. They're wearing what they have. You understand? Thanksgiving. So many people in our world today have a spirit or an attitude of just ingratitude. They're just a complaining spirit. Nothing's ever good enough. Nothing's ever what they want. I don't like meatloaf. I don't like that. I don't. And you know, it's not to put us on a guilt trip this morning, but I want to remind us there are a lot of people that do not have that would be so thankful for what you're complaining about. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, help us to have a spirit of thanksgiving for what God has given to us and for what He has done. I don't even want to take the time to read it. In Exodus, you can go from chapter to chapter and find the children of Israel doing what? Complaining. You ought to do it sometime. Just find one spot, and then in your margin, if you have a King James, it says murmuring or complaining, and it tells you the next place to find it, and you're going to find you're going from chapter to chapter. Murmuring, complaining. And I found one. I turned yesterday. I was waiting in the airport, and I turned and looked at one of those places. And they were complaining because they didn't have anything to drink. And then in the next chapter, I thought, you know, people complaining about things. And you know what? When you start complaining about things, do you know the next thing that you're going to be complaining about? You're going to be complaining about people. It's not going to stop with things. The next chapter, it was complaining against Moses and Aaron. You know, the reason they were complaining is because they were not happy with their own self. Their trust in God was not what it should have been, and so they were complaining. Nothing's good enough, and you will find if you start complaining about things, the next thing you're going to start doing is, well, they're not doing what they ought to do, and if they would just do that, you ought to stop and look in the mirror sometime. Complaining is not a result of the things around you or the people around you. It is a condition and spirit of heart. But so is thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. And I recognize very much. There was one year after seeing these children not having fruit. And I'm not a big fruit lover. And that's not a criminal thing. But I'm not just a big fruit lover. I'll eat it and I like it. But if you want me to eat it, you peel it and cut it and put it in front of me and I'll eat it. But to go and just pick up an orange and say, oh, an orange, and peel it myself, I'd rather not mess with it. But if my wife comes along and puts it down on a plate and it's peeled and cut, and that's her choice, don't misunderstand me, and puts it in front of me, I'll eat it. But I looked at fruit a little bit differently when I came back. And here are these children malnourished, not having fruit. And I told them, I said, I'm going to see if with all I can do that you all have fruit to eat from here on out. Might not be able to, but I'm going to do what I can. Do you know I came home and I looked at fruit differently? And you know, after a year or two, I've kind of lost a little bit of that. Lord, remind us this morning. Lord, remind us to be thankful for the blessings we have. Lord, remind us of a family and friends. Lord, thank you for being my God. I don't want to be unthankful. I don't want to complain. I don't want to murmur, Lord. But Father, I want to be thankful unto you. And I want to bless your name. I have seen many of these people in these circumstances that I said mine eyes have seen that were so happy. I thought, Lord, help us. The poorest country in the world, at least it was, a few years ago, was Malawi. Some of the poorest people in the world. And do you know, they are some of the happiest people. I'd wake up in the morning and the ladies were outside my mud hut, or made out of mud brick, and they were singing. And I thought, that's something. Wonder if I went to your house, would I wake up hearing you singing? What are we doing? Lord, these are people that don't have. It's not happiness.
And thanksgiving is not based upon material possessions. People think if I just had that, I would be happy. I want you children, young people, to know something. You may say, well, if I just could have that. And you may say, well, I have some serious things that I need. No, listen. If I gave you, if I had the ability to give you everything that you thought would make you happy, I can about guarantee you still wouldn't be happy this morning. Is that right? You adults, you've been around a while. Am I right? It's because it's a condition of my own heart. And I have lived, and I share this, I have lived in rental property, I've lived in parsonages, I've lived in trailers, I've lived in 120-year-old houses, and I've lived in the house we have now. And do you know what I found? Happiness doesn't come with the house. You think, well, if I had that car, if I had, it doesn't happen. Because you may be excited to get something, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to be blessed by that. But understand that once you get it, the newness wears off, and it doesn't matter anymore. Happiness and thanksgiving is not a result of what we own. It goes deeper than that. Because I have also seen homes, whether they be rich or poor, that are full of carnality and strife. Big fancy home, nice cars, good retirement, and you think, what else would you want? Marriages and strife and contention. I have seen people, so many people that have money that are so unhappy. So unhappy. And they have all that this world has to offer. And they're so unhappy. People, I've seen those that go from party to party, from high to high, looking for something to satisfy the void that's in their life. I've seen people bound by addictions. People out there and in here. And by that I mean, it's not just we say way out in the world. You don't have to go to Africa to find it. But people in our world, people that have known truth, that are bound by the tricks of the devil. They're bound by the flesh. They're bound up. Seen people that are bound and full of unforgiveness. Bound by bitterness. So unhappy. Material things don't matter. They're just unhappy people to be around. Because they're just full of bitterness. People that have hatred in their life. You get on certain subjects and there's just a bitterness. There's anger. There's no place of thanksgiving there. They're so unhappy. Scripture says over in Proverbs 15:16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I would rather this morning have little of what this world has to offer. I have a question for you. I shared with you this last part. I shared some of the things that sin brings in people's life. But at the first, I shared with you things that mine eyes have seen with the hunger, no home, no mom and dad, very few people to show any love or care. Does that mean that those people are exempt from being thankful? Because we look at our life, and you know, if you have a home to go to, and I know all of you do, if you have a mom or a dad, we have a place to worship. We have freedom to be here this morning. Do you know we should be thankful for that? Because there's a lot of people that don't have that. Does that mean that we're better than they are? No. It means we're not any better, but I'm thankful for what the Lord has given to us. Lord, help us to appreciate it. And we start appreciating it more when we see those that don't have. But that does not mean that God has looking down in greater favor on us. That doesn't mean that we're more spiritual, but at the same time, I don't want to fail to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for those material things. But I look at these people, many of them, that don't have, and I see their heart of thanksgiving. I see them being thankful for what they do have. I have food to eat today. I had a place to sleep. I see, I have a stack of letters at home of some of these children that have been through horrific things in their lives, and they are so happy to have a place to sleep off the dirt now. They're so happy to have a table to sit and eat at. They're so thankful for that. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be thankful. And those that have difficulties and trials and battles, are we exempt from battles? You know, I imagine you might be surprised if you went to Monarch and you made a list of all the battles and difficulties that people there face. Do you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of stuff that you had no idea was going on in their lives. So we're not just talking about third world stuff now. But what I am thankful for this morning, above everything else, I am thankful for Jesus Christ and for the peace of God in my heart. Welcome the storms, the song says. What's the next verse, Court? My hope or my heart? My hope is abounding. Welcome the storm. Can we say that this morning? Say, Brother Michael, this is about to all be thanksgiving about the good things. That's what I'm thankful for this morning, because mine eyes have seen those that don't have the physical things, but they found, as other song says, I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Oh, that you can take all of the earthly things, but I'm thankful. Persecution, let it come. Okay, now. You let all the heartaches of life, and it's difficult. But nothing this morning can steal the peace of God in my life, because what Jesus did. It's not in what I'm doing for myself, it's in the gift of God, because He loves me. And regardless of what I don't have, regardless of those that might, the Scripture says, don't fear those that can kill the body, don't worry about what man can do unto you, but fear those that can take the soul. See? So don't worry all this other stuff. I'm thankful this morning for peace. I'm thankful I can get up and know that regardless of all of the things that life may bring, there is grace. There is grace that can enable me not to go like those that I have seen that are bound with unforgiveness and hatred and strife and contention and the addictions of the flesh. I don't have to go there, and you don't either. Because of grace. Because of what God came, what He sent His Son to do for us. Is not that thanksgiving this morning? Are we thankful this morning because of what God has done? Turn with me, if you will, Colossians chapter 1. I am so thankful I can say, as a songwriter, that I have found a richer treasure. Colossians 1 verse 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that something to give the Father thanks for? That we have been made meet to do what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does that inheritance include? It may or may not be. May not be a roof over your head. It may not always be shoes on your feet like the one song of Thanksgiving. It may not always be food on the table, but I want to tell you what it is. It's peace, it's forgiveness, it's grace, it's enabling power, and there's heaven to look forward to. When all of these earthly things are going to pass away and we are going to be amply provided for with a quality of life in heaven. Y'all children know we're not just spirits now. We're going to have a body, a glorified body, and we're going to have quality of life. And if we will serve the Lord, we are going to be partakers of something that far surpasses all of the things that this world has to offer. In everything, it said, giving thanks unto the Father. I am thankful this morning when I consider that inheritance we have heaven to look forward to. In this life, though, we have peace, we have grace. And as I was meditating on this, as the Lord was talking to me, I was thanking the Lord, and I think it's just part of our inheritance. I am thankful to have a friend in Jesus. You know, that's what I was reading some other letters this morning, a couple others, another one. Young lady was talking about, and she was writing to her sponsor, who's enabling her to go to school. And her sponsor, I told them a little of their history and some things they were going through, and she was saying that she was going to pray for them, and she was sorry for the disease that they had, for the physical problems that they had here. But she was encouraging them to keep praying and looking to God because He would bless them. Oh, do you know this morning that that's part of the inheritance? I'm thankful to finally have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The things and heartaches of this life, yes, they will bring the tears. But there's a greater comfort in the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for that this morning. I am thankful to have an outlet. People in the world are trying to find a way to release the burdens, and they just get more in bondage. But I am thankful I have found an outlet in the Lord this morning. Every burden, every care, every tear, there's a place I can go in a secret place. And it might just be in front of you all, or it might be in the quietness of my little study at home, but it's a sanctuary because it's me and God. In a place that I can find an outlet for the things that trouble me, the burdens of my life. Don't we have something to be thankful for this morning? Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for delivering me. And with that, Lord, thank You for the blessings of this life. I'm thankful I have a home to go to. Thankful for family. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for all of those things. But greater still, I am thankful to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints, something that God has given to us. I have seen people, as you have, I have seen those that are seriously afflicted that have the joy of the Lord in their life. Seen people with heavy burdens. Seen people with horrible marriage difficulties. Their older brother, and this is one I heard about growing up. His wife was not saved, and she'd lock him out of the house. She was just flat out ugly to him all the time. He had the joy of the Lord. He'd come home from service, and she had locked him out, and he'd have to sit out on the porch until finally she let him in. He found the joy of God. He found something better. Seeing those that have, and you know them, they're alive. We don't just have to talk about dead people. It's easier to talk about them, isn't it? People that are living today that have had hard things happen in their life, but they found something better. Their thanksgiving was not based on just if I've got money in the bank and I feel good, but their joy was found in something deep in Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with one other scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. In everything, do what? In everything, give thanks. In everything, that's verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was struck. I was just driving along here to service this morning, and that scripture, as I was, came to my mind again. I thought, you know, it didn't say for everything, give thanks. You know what it said? In everything. Can you do that? You may not like what's happening in your life. There have been things happen in life. I sure didn't like it. And I was able to give God thanks in the middle of it because of something deeper. In every situation, in every problem, give thanks to God. And you know, one of the reasons we can do that is it's not just what we see and understand for the moment, but it's because I'm His people. I'm His people. And mine eyes have seen those that have trusted in the Lord against all odds in circumstances and problems, and they kept their faith in Jesus Christ, and He brought them out to a wealthy place. In everything, give thanks. Be thankful and know that God is working behind the scenes. And the joy of it for those of us that are His people is that even if I don't understand some of the hardest things that you may face in life. Now, this is truth. The very things, even that the world has brought, the trouble, those things, God will turn it around to work for your good, right? If you will let it, that very thing that brings the most grief to you may be your salvation. Do you believe that? Say, oh, the Lord wouldn't have done that. But if it happened, He can turn it around to cause the trouble and the struggles and the problems of life to be the very thing that gets you in a place that you can make heaven your home. So in everything, give thanks. I've shared just a few things that mine eyes have seen this morning. Your eyes have seen a lot. But what I have seen is that serving God in a spirit of thanksgiving makes life so much worth the living. Because I can be thankful now. And I'm not looking at what I don't have. I'm not looking at what they have or what I want to have. But I'm looking at what I have and saying, Lord, thank You for this. You've blessed me with that. But most of all, Lord, thank You for loving me, for caring for me. And I'm thankful to be His people this morning. God bless you.